Okay, tonight, if you have your Bibles, we are studying together in the book of Hebrews. And we've spent quite a bit of time establishing the fact that contrary to tradition, Paul did not write the book of Hebrews. One thing that's very noticeable, virtually all of the epistles are signed. Yeah. That is, everything that Paul wrote, he said, it's Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the church at Colossae, to the Ephesian, whoever it happens to be. And so there are 13 books of the New Testament, which Paul signed. And then Peter signed his epistles. James signed his epistles. One of the few books that's not signed. Now when we come to the Gospels, we know who they were written. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're the writers. Okay, so what we need to learn is all Scripture's given out by inspiration. What's that mean? It really carries the idea that is breathed out by God. Okay. What am I doing right now in order to speak to your ears? I'm breathing out words that are formed by, the various ways that you shape your mouth to form syllables and put them together and make words. That's called language, And faith comes by hearing what? Hearing the language of God through what? Men of God who wrote as they were what? Moved or borne along by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible's not about teaching us so much how to live, and I need to qualify that, as to teaching us how we can't possibly live. All of the religious systems of the world are based upon the lie of the devil in the garden. What was it? Disobey God, and that will make you like God. Now, if you put it in those terms, which preachers never do, it's perfectly understandable what took place. God planted the tree of life. The devil planted the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. How do we know that? Because God can't be tempted with evil, neither does he what? Neither does he tempt any man. Now, if we just take some of these fundamental truths that we know and apply them as we read things, so much of the nonsense that is preached under the canopy of Christianity would be immediately rejected. But everyone has within them the fact that when Adam ate of that tree, I ate of that tree. When Adam ate of that tree, you ate of that tree. So, I mentioned the song, Doing What Comes Naturally. That's what we do. And one of the natural things for man to do is to think that he can be like God by the life that he lives. The scripture is very clear. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous. How many? Not even one. So we can see that concept is fallacious right from the get-go. So once we understand that, that should help us as believers to recognize when people are deviating from the truth. There are so many people, and if you look at the Mormons have the concept that that all of a sudden his name Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith was a philanderer. He was collecting men's wives, and he ended up in prison because of it. And then, unfortunately, somebody killed him. That made him a hero. And then they went out, found Utah, took over Utah. And they're one of the largest religious systems in the world today. And what do they teach? We see good-looking young men dressed in, you know, shirt and tie, going door to door. But these men are steeped in the concept that they can be like God by the life that they live. That's what Joseph Smith taught. That's what, you know, Brigham Young taught. And that's really a mispronunciation of his name. It really is Brigham Young.
The younger,
when you consider how many wives he had. Yeah. All right. And so it's just like the religious systems in the days of the Jews. Every single religious system that they were confronted with in Canaan was based upon a sexual union. You know? And it wasn't. I mean, whatever kind of sex you want, they had worshiping on top of every mountain and under every green tree. You know? And so nothing has changed. Man is corrupt by nature. And so God's plan, you know, God is an omniscient God. Now, God didn't make the devil plant the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But he knew that he would. And God didn't make Adam eat of that tree. But he knew that Eve would be deceived. And then Adam, out of his love for his wife, ate of it. And that really set up the whole concept of redemption. You know, as in Adam, what? All die. So someone that has to be born of the lineage of Adam, but without the sin nature of Adam. Well, that requires a virgin birth. And so in the fullness of the time, what? God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. He was a Jew under the law. And so what did he do? How did he live his life? He is the only Jew who ever kept the law. You know, when you read about the prophets and so forth, there's not one of those men that was sinless, because the scripture tells us there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And people, they'll read about David's life, and they're trying to figure out how why God is exalting David so much and putting Saul down and all of that type of thing. And so they're trying to find something good in the life of David. But you can't. You know, David committed adultery with Uriah's wife, you know, Bathsheba. And then he tried to cover it up, and he couldn't. And then when Uriah came home, and David ordered him home, figured he'd go in to his wife like any normal man would. But Uriah was first of all a soldier, and he had the idea, my buddies on the front line are not able to go into their wives. So he slept in the hallway of the temple. Anyway, he wouldn't go to his wife, so David couldn't hide his sin. Yeah. So then David says, well, I've got to get a solution here pretty quick. Otherwise, her pregnancy is going to advance. And so he writes a note and sends it back by Uriah to give to his commander. And he says, when you get in the forefront of the battle, put Uriah in the forefront. And then when Uriah was killed, the commander said, tell David that Uriah, or tell David that we had some casualties because we got in close to the wall. And as a good soldier, when he begins to berate you for getting too close to the wall, tell him Uriah's dead. Yeah. Why? As a soldier, don't get that close, but make sure Uriah gets that close. And that didn't hide anything either. You know. So ultimately what? God has to use sinful men to proclaim the truth. Okay? And how many men in this world are there who are without sin? None. Now Biden will tell you that. I mean, that guy doesn't know what he did yesterday, but he wants to do it again. The bottom line, I'm not trying to demean the office of the presidency. Biden does that every time he opens his mouth. But the bottom line is, we can't, we have elections, and we get representatives, different ones, that are approved by, religious organizations, the moral majority. What's wrong with that name? Man by is the life that he lives is contrary to God. Everybody is a part of the moral majority. That's the way we think naturally. Right. So, who is the majority? Well, those guys that brought out those ballots after Trump was ahead at midnight, and by dawn, before they even started counting, Biden won the election, and then we have the Never Trumpers and the all of that. They're not willing to fight for it. There's constitutional basis for Pence as the president of the House. There was a constitutional basis for him to demand the recount. We had, in some places, we had more ballot cast than there were registered voters. The fraud was obvious. And I think the Chinese had something to do with it, with their COVID thing. And, I still see lots of people still wearing masks. I had to wear one yesterday. They won't let you in the hospital without wearing a mask. When I was on my doctor last week for my physical, he said, do you want a COVID booster? I said, nay, nay. I said, back when I was, in the Air Force I was on active duty for 4 years and then active duty for four years. But back then, the government owned my body. I had to keep my shot list up to date because as a member of the Strategic Air Command, we had to be able to be anywhere in the world at a moment's time. You can't go around and see whether everybody's shot record is up. It was a continuous thing. So every 6 months, you're getting shots and booster shots and those type of thing. And every time I got a flu shot, no matter what the flu was at that time, every time I got a flu shot, I got sick. And the other one that got me was the tetanus typhus. Well, tetanus is no problem, but the typhoid fever, they made that a combination thing. First time I got that shot, we were marching afterwards, and I was walking along, and it's just like I stepped into a black hole. I was on my face, they called the ambulance, and of course, just being a 19-year-old kid, where's my mommy? You see grown men cry. And then after that, every time I got the booster shot for that, they would stick the needle in my arm and it was immediately, I'd be out. And I used to watch those movies or newsreels during World War II as you see these GIs being given shots. And I've read up vast medical history. So what in the world are these wimps doing? They're getting the shot and falling down. It's not the shot. It's what's in the shot. And I apparently, if I ever got typhoid fever, it would be, I'd be home with the Lord. Yeah. Anyway, let's come to the book of Hebrews now. We're trying to lay a foundation. And the reason I'm approaching it this way is because this book is written to whom? Who are the Hebrews? They're the Jews. Who was given the law? The Jews. Who could not keep the law? Both Jews and Gentiles. No one. Why? Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. What was the law for? The law was a schoolmaster. That's an attendant slave that, you know, a pedagogos in Greek, who had the responsibility of training the children. So how does the law train us? It says, you cannot live to God's holy standard. That's what it's for. So the law is a ministry of what? Condemnation and death. So if you think you can make yourself fit for God's presence by the life that you live, and that's basically the basis because of the devil's lie, that's the basis of every religious system in the world except biblical Christianity and in the past, biblical Judaism. But the sad part about the Jews, you know, there were saved Jews in every generation while they were the custodians of the truth. But the majority, they were involved. You know, remember God told them that when you go into the land, you're to utterly destroy the various false religious systems that were in the land. And so while Joshua was alive, they went in and they took out city after city after city, and they didn't intermarry with the people because they killed them. And so things were pretty good for a while. But then when Joshua died, you know, back in the days of Balaam, you know, the Jews, every man did that, which was what? Right in his own eyes. So if you, you can't teach Christianity in the grammar schools, in the high schools, junior high schools, and so forth. Can't teach it. Why? Because somebody judged that was a violation of the separation of church and state. And as someone said, I think it was Thomas Jefferson, he said that Second Amendment is not to keep religion out of government, it's to keep the government out of religion. So, and basically all of those men had professed some sort of faith. Jefferson was a Unitarian, so he didn't believe in the Trinity. And the chances of him being saved by denying the Trinity are pretty much nil and none. Brilliant man, absolutely. But man by what? Man by wisdom doesn't know what? He doesn't know God. So, we're coming to this book of Hebrews, and the emphasis in the book of Hebrews is, who's the writer? We've spent a lot of time showing that Paul was not. More than likely, it was Apollos, because when we go over to, what is it, about the 11th or 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Aquila and Priscilla heard Apollos preaching. And then after he was through, they took him aside and expounded unto him the word of God more perfectly. Now, we talked about this last time. Where did Aquila and Priscilla get their understanding? From Paul. So, since Aquila and Priscilla put Apollos on the right track, and Paul was put on the right track by the Lord himself 3 years in the wilderness of Arabia, and the other apostles were all trained under the Lord during the period of the law. So, but what? Christ is the end of the law for righteousness? To whom? To everyone that believeth. Now, do you hear that in the churches, commonly speaking? No, virtually all of the churches are trying to make men live better, you know, be better. And what does the scripture say about man? There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So, you know, people will have a tendency to, I don't know how to put it exactly, they like to set their pastor on a pedestal. Now, he is the man of God. He teaches the word of God. But he's not sinless. I'm not sinless. Why? Because the word of God says I'm not. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. If we should say that we have no sin, what? We deceive ourselves. Now, do you want me to teach you being deceived or understanding who I am and who my Savior is and why I have a right relationship with God? I have a right relationship with God the same way that those of you who are saved, and as I look about me, that's everybody tonight. Okay, so we're saved by God's grace through faith. And God says, okay, when I look at you, I look at you through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, does what? It cleanses you from all sin. So, our little moral platitudes and this and that. Oh, I can't drink. You know, lips that taste wine shall never touch mine. I never ever saw a gal that ever said that I wanted to touch her lips. Yeah, all of this phony, and it is so phony. Yeah, but all of this phony nonsense by. You know how to please God? Believe Him. Yeah. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but it's according to God's what? Mercy or His grace that He saved us. So we're not fit for God's presence by anything that we've done. Even the faith that we exercise is a gift from God to us. So He quickens the Word of God by His Spirit to our hearts. And at first, all we know is we're sinners. Yeah, that's usually the uppermost thing in your mind when you first come to faith. I'm a sinner and Christ died for me. Yeah. Then it doesn't take long. You know, the more of the Word of God you take in, the more understanding you begin to get. So let's read what we've read before and then we'll continue on. Hopefully we'll get into the second chapter tonight. God. So who's the author of the book of Hebrews? God. God, who at sundry times, that's at different times and in different ways, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. God was in the presence, or Moses was in the presence of God on Mount Sinai. Some of the prophets, were given as the Spirit of God moved them or caused them to have a dream or some other vision. Like Daniel, he wrote and he got sick trying to understand what he wrote. And the Lord told him, shut the book up, Daniel, it's not for your time. So he wrote about the days that we're in. We are in the latter day. How long they'll continue is all dependent upon the grace of God. And when the last soul is saved in the church age, the trumpet's going to sound. Yeah. So God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, so He didn't always use the same method with each individual, or spake in times past, how? Unto the fathers. He spake through prophets, and so on and so forth. Hath in these last days spoken unto us how? By His Son. Now, I want to read John 1:1 again. That's such a wonderful verse. It's one of the few verses when I was studying Greek that I memorized in Greek. Not that that makes it any more holy or anything of the sort, but I thought it would be a good idea. In the beginning, God's without beginning, He's without ending. So what does it mean in the beginning? From all eternity, forever. In the beginning was the Word. So God is eternal, Christ is eternal, the Holy Spirit is eternal. Who are those three persons? One God. And that's not strange, because we, as believers, we're also a triune being. I have a body. I have a human spirit, and then I have my spirit that died in Adam has been made alive in Christ. So I have natural understanding. I have spiritual understanding by virtue of regeneration. The Lord saved me by His grace. Same thing is true of each of you. We're a tripart being. Unsaved people are just two parts. They have a body and they have a soul. But their spirit that died in Adam can only be made alive through the preaching of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing how? By the Word of God. So in the beginning was the Word. What is a word? We can take and write certain letters on a blackboard, or type them into the computer, or reproduce them. I love to watch kids as they're learning to write. And the way we do it, I don't know whether they do it this way anymore, but we would have a sheet of paper with all of the capitals and underneath them all of the lowercase letters. And then we would have lined paper, and so we would actually just copy an A, and then we would say it, A, and then we would copy a B, both uppercase and lowercase, B. And then we would say it, and back then we just said it, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So after a while they made a song out of it, and these are my ABCs. It's easier to learn things by singing them. You can hear a song on the radio, that thing that you used to have in your car, you could tune it into a station and listen to Bing Crosby. Who's Bing Crosby? There were some great singers in the past. And songs had words that meant something. And a lot of them were what we would call ballads or love songs. Now it's, get down dirty, baby. I'm coming to town. I mean, it's, I really, of course, I was in the, I graduated from the high school in 1951, and 10 days after I graduated high school, I was 19 years old. We were in the middle of the Korean War, and 19-year-olds were being drafted. So I figured they're going to get me anyway. I may as well enlist in the Air Force, and perhaps I can learn something that'll help me along the way. And at that point in time, I wasn't saved. At that point in time, my thoughts of what I might be vocationally was I had a dentist as a kid that I really admired. Let's see, I've got to remember his name now. I had it right at the tip of his first name was Lefwich. Then, and I can't remember the rest of it. Anyway. But he was a great dentist, and back in those days, You know, a lot of time they would repair the tooth without Novocaine. But the dentists were really good, and if they had to deaden the nerve, they would. But, you know, it was much quicker. And Joanne had to have a tooth fixed, and she said, I don't want to be swollen up because I've got to go somewhere afterward. And this dentist, he's working, and she's not saying a thing. And he said, are you okay? I couldn't do that. Maybe we were tougher in those days. I don't know. But I was planning on being a dentist, probably primarily because of the influence that that dentist had upon me. Of course, back then you could get a, you know, I don't think filling the cavity was much more than $3.50, maybe $5. Yeah. Where has that gone? Anyway, we're influenced by people. But what I didn't know, and had no way of knowing, you know, I'm in the Air Force. I'm the Air Force's property. Yeah, if you're in the military, they one of the first things they read to you is the Military Code of Justice. Forget the Constitution, because the Military Code of Justice, once you raise your hand and swear that you'll keep it, you're not under the Constitution anymore. Now you're under the Military Code of Justice. You know, and it's pretty fearsome for some of the things that you might think you want to do. I've lost my train of thought. But we, you know, we live in this world, but we're not of it as believers. When I was saved at 21, the January before, I'd come home from my dad's funeral. He died at age 44. And then I came home the next year, and Brother Stuart preached, and I was saved. And the uppermost thing in my mind was my personal sin. Yeah. Now, by world standards, as rotten as some people can be, I wasn't the rottenest kid on the block, but how rotten do you have to be rotten? You know, so we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior. There's none of us that can have a personal relationship with God in and of ourselves. You know, people form religions. And I received an email from one of our missionaries in Nigeria, and they're doing some work just going over into an adjacent state in Africa. And in that particular state, they still practice cannibalism, you know, but they're taking the gospel there. You know. And one of the things that I wrote to him, and this is something that we need to understand. We, wherever the Lord sends us, wherever he calls us to go, nobody can touch us unless it's within God's permissive will. Yeah. So if God says go somewhere, we go there. And we need not fear what man can do to us. Can man do some fearful thing? And has he done some fearful thing? Yes. You know, Stephen, and James had beheaded him, and but none of those men lost their life without it being within the permissive will of God. Yeah. So our life is not our own; death is an appointment, and however our life fits into God's will in this world, and that's where he's going to direct us and lead us to be. And, you know, and basically as believers, whether you're in the ministry as I am or whether you're not, each of us has something that we can do in the service of the Lord. And so are we compelled to do it? No. But for me, I have the same attitude as the Apostle Paul. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now, God's not going to curse me for not preaching. But it's, you know, the calling of the ministry was so strong and so true. And right from the get-go, the Lord put me in position to be able to read a lot of the Word of God. And within a year and a half of my salvation, I was in Bible college, knew I was called to the ministry, and fighting with professors that, you know, they grade me down on a paper, and I say, oh, why are you grading me down for this? This is what it says, you know. And then I had the one I told you about that changed an A or an F to an A. It was a block F, and he just took a red ink and put a line down it. But, you know, I went in and said, this paper's not, you graded me down because you disagree with me. You didn't grade me on the work that I did, so I want to go see the dean right now. This paper's not worthy of an F, you know. So, but Dale's backbone got a little bit stiffer. And you have to learn, if you're going to be a Christian, or if you're going to serve the Lord in any capacity, you don't have to be mean doing it, but somewhere along the line, you're going to have to fight for the truth and say things that people will think you're a little bit, you know, touched for thinking that way. Who? The majority of the people in the world. So this isn't a popularity contest. It's, you know, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine. What is that? Teaching. For reproof. Do you like to be reproved? If I tell you that what you believe is going to send you to hell, am I saying that because I think I'm better than you, or because what you believe is contrary to the saving grace of God in Jesus Christ? And we try to do it in a way not to be abusive or, you know, or ugly about it. But sometimes it doesn't make any difference how you couch the words. People actually hate you. And I must say this about Norma. When Joanne first met Norma, Norma was in the Jehovah's Witnesses. And she had not bought into it all. But she'd tell Joanne, let's go out together. And Joanne said, Norma, I can't do that. Yeah. Well, eventually, when we did the cracker thing, Norma was here hearing Brother Stewart or me. We'd go down and talk to the ladies as they were baking and packing. When you bake the crackers, then packaging them and that sort of thing, and go down and talk to them. And pretty soon one day I noticed, I said, Norma, you're not talking like you used to talk. Yeah. And she said, well, I've accepted the Lord as my Savior. Yeah. And her mother, her brother, her son, you just go through the family. There's a whole bunch of them that came to faith at that point in time. But Joanne liked Norma. Norma liked Joanne. Norma used to clean houses, and she'd take Norma or Joanne with her, and they had to ride the motorcycle to get there. And they only had one hard hat and made the hard hat law. And she said, Norma, I'm not going to put that pot on my head. And they did so many things. They loved one another long before Norma became a believer. But afterwards, yeah, she said to me one day, you know, I used to hate your guts, but I love you to death. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we just stood our ground. We had parties with them. We danced with them. We went out together. We did all kinds of things. But because she would go off on her Jehovah's Witness sideline, and I said, Norma, that's not right. Look what the Word of God says. Yeah. And it didn't happen until They were working downstairs and hearing the Word of God all day long. And, so what? Cracker Company failed. We had a good product. You know, all the big companies couldn't duplicate it, and they all tried. But, we weren't supposed to be in the cracker business. We're supposed to be preaching the Word of God. And so, it's just, we get diverted sometimes. But think about it. The Scripture says God works out what? All things together for good. Now, if you think about Emily at this present time, and she's been through some really bad stuff, with stupid doctors. But ultimately, we know that when it's all worked out, it's going to be somehow or other worked out for God's good, and it may lead to the salvation of family members. It may not. But ultimately, it will work out somehow or other in God's plan for good. And sometimes it takes a few generations before you see that good. Okay, I'm going to take you to John. I'm doing too many side trips tonight. Anyway, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And who is the Word? The Word is God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. So when it says in Genesis that in the beginning that God created the heaven and the earth, that's true. When it says all things were created by the Word, who is Jesus Christ, that's true. Can you separate yourself from your body, your soul, and your spirit? No. I mean, we get separated at death because the body may go into the grave. It may be cremated, but the soul and spirit are translated immediately into the presence of God in heaven, and where, according to Paul's experience over in Corinthians, he said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I couldn't tell. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. Well, we know his body was in Lystra in the dump, but he couldn't tell whether he was in a body or out of a body in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord showed him things that are not lawful to be uttered. So, about the Word, in verse 11 it says, He came unto His own, and His own did what? Received Him not. The nation of Israel, as a whole, rejected Jesus Christ as Savior. And those who did receive Him, basically all of the apostles suffered a martyr's death. And many people were stoned. Well, let's go back to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and we'll close with this tonight. And this shows. So think about this when we know that all things work together for good. So we've talked about various individuals up to verse 32. And at verse 32 it says, And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith did what? They subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouth of lions. Some of them were thrown into lions' dens. They quenched the violence of fire, they escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Remember, Israel, when they entered into the land, they had to fight, and they basically were to destroy the people that were there. And people say, well, those Jews were a rotten bunch of people. No, they were doing what God told them to do, and you have to think about it. They were all idolaters that Israel was putting to death. So these were people, and it affected the Jews eventually, because after the death of Joshua, the Jews weren't as effective in their battles. And then they eventually settled down with the people, intermarried with the people, and worshiped on every mountain under every green tree. And the worship of those pagans was all sexually oriented. You know, male with male, female with female, male with female, vice versa. You know, sex, adults with children, any kind of variation of sexual expression, it was all expressed in the false worship of those individuals. Yeah. Today, we want to make all of those things normal. Yeah, well, they're normal because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We like, as believers, we like to think that's abnormal. No, it's for the human family, it's normal. You know, to murder babies for the human family is normal. You know, some of the temple walls were plastered with fetuses from the miscarriages or abortions of Jewish women that were worshiping falsely with other gods. You know, so it was all mixed together. So you think the world's getting worse? No, but what is happening? We're getting close to the end of the age, and there's always more of an expression of the evil, of the evil one, as we come to the end of an age. I want to read just a couple more verses, and we'll stop. So they quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the alien. So we've seen things they did that were wrong, and then things that they did that were right. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Can you imagine that? And stretching you out and just sawing you right down the middle. You know, from your crotch right through the middle of your head. And they were stoned, they were sawn asunder. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. You know, of whom the world was what? Not worthy. Now, you may not think of this way, but in this world in which we live, the world is not worthy of those of us who know our Lord Jesus Christ and preach the saving grace of Jesus Christ. They're not worthy of us, not because we're good people, but we're God's people. We're saved by God's grace through faith, and He won't allow any of us to die or to be tortured or to do any of those things. If it happens, it has to be within His perfect will. And that's something that we have to recognize. So, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these having obtained a good report through, not faith, the faith, the body of revealed truth, received not the promise. What was the promise? That God would send forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. God having provided some better thing for us. We live in an age in which is all what was in shadows and types in the Old Testament has now been revealed. And as we come closer to the end of the age, so much more is being revealed. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise You and thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for the fact that we know that if we have life, that life belongs to You. We're to use it to the best of our ability in the spiritual gifts that You've given us, to operate in them by faith, to stand for the truth of the Word of God, so that others might be saved. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Just bless in each of our hearts and lives. We know that the day will come when each of us, if we are not alive on this earth at the coming of the Lord, each of us will face physical death, but to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and to depart and be with Christ is so much better than what we have in this world. We praise you and thank you for your amazing grace in our behalf. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.